Father God, in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Lord, we're here, wow, to be with you, to share you. Lord, to share our understanding about healing, what was given to us through our salvation. Not only promised, but what was given. We were doused with healing. Every area of our bodies. And Holy Spirit, will you spring to life those things that are in us that we know, that we don't even realize or maybe remember. Mm-hmm. Bring them to life.
Yes, God.
As we share today with each other in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So what I've been doing with this is a Bible study. You got your Bibles?
Sir.
Got your Bibles? Where's your Bibles? Pull your Bibles out, because this is a Bible study. This is a Bible study, and you're not newbies, right? Nobody here is a newbie, okay? Because this is a Bible study. This is a healing Bible study, or a Bible study on healing. That's what this is about. You see, for a long time, I have felt that giving a monologue is just doing a class. And I want to see more involvement. I want to see more involvement with how we do healing. You've all been taught healing for a long time, right?
Yes.
Can we say yes and amen?
Amen?
So you all understand that it comes with salvation. But there are nuances and different things that I want us to be able to share with each other. I'm going to lead through, but you're going to share. Because we've all got input on this. Now, the title of this, I'm doing this as a title. The title of this, we're going to finish this up today, is called The Rest of Your Salvation. The Rest of Your Salvation. And we started out with, I'll tell you where we're going. We started with Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42, when Jesus healed the leper that came to him. Now the leper, we covered a lot of ground with this. You can come on in. You can come on in. Well, there's room. There's always room. Pull a chair up. Can we make room? Can we make room for Barbara to get in here?
You guys can get
scooted
up.
Yep, we can do that. Yep, you can scoot over there. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, gentlemen. Praise God. All right, so what we're doing is we are sharing what we know and what we understand. When the leper came to Jesus in Mark 1, verses 40 through 42, he said, "If you're willing, Jesus, if you're willing, I'm full of leprosy. This is unhealable, untreatable. I can't do anything about it. I have to go around saying I'm unclean all the time to everybody and everything. I feel like an outcast. I am an outcast. If you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "With compassion, I'm willing." And he put his hand on him, which was a big no-no. "I'm willing. Be cleansed." Now, what did that say? In all these things, we covered the gamut of his emotions and his... He came to Jesus without a resume. He hadn't done anything. Nothing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I've been doing all this stuff for all this time, and I've been building, I've been confessing, I've been speaking, I've been going to the covenant, I've been grabbing a hold of the horns of the altar. No, he had no resume. He just said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And so he did. And we covered a lot of different aspects of how he came to Jesus. And what happened was, he just received. He just received. And it's a picture of entering the rest of God through our salvation. We went on to salvation is for everybody, Titus 2:11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." That means all men and all women, every person on the planet, by Jesus Christ and his death and burial and resurrection. The grace of God, the favor and the ability of God has appeared that brings salvation, healing. Everybody knows what salvation is in the Greek, right? Soteria. Saved. To be saved is sozo. What do they mean? What do they mean?
Healed.
Prospered.
Delivered.
Yes. Right. Preserved. Mm-hmm. Protected. That's the literal aspect of what's been given to us by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, everybody, it's a free gift. if you want it. But you got to receive it.
That's it.
That's all. So when we receive salvation, we enter into God's rest. What is His rest? This is, we're not going to go back there, but Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, and Hebrews chapter 4, 10 and 11. You know, it says, labor, be diligent to enter into His rest. What does that mean? What does that mean? Make it real simple.
Cease from your own works.
Say it again.
Cease from your own works.
Cease from your own works. That's putting it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're entering in by faith to what He's already completed and given. It's already done. You have the only qualifications that we have are to believe God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible, right? To please Him, because he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's entering into His rest by faith. Entering into His completed works for us by faith. Boy, there's a lot of conflicts to faith, aren't there? Man. So when we enter into this rest of our salvation, is faith alone enough? That's a trick question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? So what does it take? What's it take?
Faith without works.
Come on, one at a time.
Faith without works.
James chapter 2, verses 14 and 17. What does that mean? What does that mean? Why? Isn't that a contradiction? It takes nothing from us to enter into salvation. Nothing. There's no prereqs. There's no, you don't have to go to school for it. You don't have to get a job for it. You don't have to be good enough for it. So when you enter in by faith to His rest, or the rest of our salvation, and yet James says faith without works is dead. What's he saying?
Practicing.
What in the world does that mean?
Practice your faith.
Pardon?
Practicing your faith.
Haley, come on, you got this. You know what it is.
Giving yourself completely to God.
Yeah.
Following His leading.
Yeah, following His lead. Listening, sharing.
Actually taking steps towards.
Yep. What else?
Putting an action to what it is you believe.
Amen. Right.
Putting an action to what you believe.
Speaking what? Speaking.
Mm-hmm. Speaking?
Yep.
Yeah? Anything else? Doris?
Walking it out. Walking it out.
Walking it out. It's really cooperating with the Lord and with the Word. Amen. It's not saying I'm going to sit on my
duff.
Complacency or my blessed assurance, and just, oh, it's mine, without any type of cooperation, by faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's faith with works. It's not, you're not gaining by works, but it's the accompanying works with your faith that says, I believe God. I believe Him, and I'm receiving. Because I believe Him, I'm going to live like, walk like, talk like a healed person. That's what I'm going to do, because it's mine. And then is when we begin to see the manifestation of our faith. Now, go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I want to talk about this scripture. This is also pertaining to the rest of our salvation. John chapter 15. Who wants to read verse 4? Who's got it?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Bearing fruit, producing evidence of your faith.
Bearing fruit, producing evidence of your faith. Okay. What else? Man, there's a lot more in this.
The word abide means to not depart, to continue, to dwell, to endure. You don't just stop. It's not just pass and go. It's staying there.
Haley.
I found that for me, a lot of it is in my mind. I have to agree with God.
Yeah.
And not start agreeing with other voices.
Yeah.
Be firmly planted.
All the conflicts. Be firmly planted. What else, Lonnie?
Abiding in Him. It's a whole lot here.
Yes.
He's the source of all life. And we got to feed off of that vine, because any branch that doesn't bear fruit is taken off and thrown into the fire.
You're getting ahead, but yes.
I'm sorry. It's cool.
What is it, Lonnie, to abide?
It means to live in Him. When you live in Him, you die to yourself. When He's talking about abiding, He doesn't want to possess. He wants to live through you. You gotta die to self and allow Him to live through you. It's not as hard as you think. It's actually a privilege to allow God to live through you, to walk in the earth as His son is a privilege.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Grace.
What else? What else? Come on. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. What does that speak of? Our own works?
Well, the fruit of the Spirit is... You know, in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace.
What is that fruit? Is it fruit of the Spirit?
Yes.
Is it the fruit of our own works? We can't produce of ourselves.
We got to live by His word, His will, what He says.
His word?
Don't quit and don't give up.
Don't quit, don't give up. His word, His will. Alan, you got anything?
Well, I'm just thinking, you can't really, if you look at a vine, the branches... You can't really tell the difference. It's just the life flows through all of it.
Mm.
So if you're a branch that's cut off from the vine, you're dead.
You're dead.
There's no fruit, nothing that's lasting.
Doris?
I was thinking too, it just, when we are in Him and He is in us, the fruit is produced just like a bud on a tree. You know, when it's spring and the trees begin to bud, they do it automatically. You know, and that's how it is with us. When we're in God, and He's in us, our life produces that. The guest I bought today, I didn't go up to her speaking in tongues and doing all this sort of thing. She saw me, I was coming from my walk, and I had my praise music on. And she ran over to me. When I opened my eyes, she was in my face. And she said, what church do you go to? Like that, you know.
Praise God.
She startled me, you know. And I wasn't doing anything but just letting God live through me.
Amen.
And that's I think that's how it is.
Amen.
Just do what God say do the way He say do it.
Amen. Amen. Anything else on this?
When I think of a... grafting, which we were done. We were grafted into the vine.
Yes, we were. James.
It becomes one. There's no difference, like he said. There's no difference. And so everything that Jesus has can flow through us. And we become one with Him.
Grace. Amen.
He doesn't take anything from us because He gave everything to us.
Amen.
So what He takes from us, He's already given us.
Amen. Anything else?
That kind of
anything else?
I think there's a choice.
He says, be diligent.
That is a choice.
You have to get up and say, no, I'm going that way.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
To all the other crap that's in the world, I'm going this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a daily thing. It's an hour, a minute thing. Because everybody gets bombarded with tons of stuff. And you have to decide, I'm going there. Because he never attacks us when we're, and when we know what's going on. It's when we're tired. Or when we're exhausted, when things aren't, all this stuff starts bombs up, all of a sudden, what are you going to do? That's when you have to say, no, I'm going this.
Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And when I read this, I'm going to tell you what I think, that as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, we can't by our own works. This is a part of entering his rest. I'm going to enter his completed works. But I can only do this by abiding in him by faith. And he says, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit. Fruit of what? Fruit of, we've got several different things we think about fruit. But I'm going to say the fruit of faith. We can't bear the fruit of faith. We can't produce the fruit of faith without first abiding in him. Mm-hmm. How do you abide in Jesus? Trust. How do you do that?
Trust in him.
Trust? What else? This is big.
Rely on him.
Rely?
That's right.
Focus.
Totally. Focus on him? Well, you just said a big one. Mm-hmm. To the exclusion of everything else?
Right. Yes.
Including how you feel?
Exactly.
Including what you think?
Exactly.
Including your reasoning?
Mm-hmm.
Including all the doubts?
Mm-hmm.
Including the conflicts?
Mm-hmm.
Including how your body feels?
Yes.
Really? Really?
Not the body.
It's not easy, but it's true.
Body's not right.
What else? What else? How do you abide in Jesus? How do you do it? I mean, that's the big mystery, I think, for most.
Walking in the Spirit.
Okay, what does that mean?
We're totally relying on him and not ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's right.
Okay.
Put his word above every other thing.
Put his word above everything. What else? How do you abide in him? I mean, when Jesus said, abide in me, because you can't bear fruit of yourself. You can't do this yourself. You can't accomplish it yourself. You can't live it yourself. You can't produce it on your own. You've got to abide in me. We want the supernatural manifestation of healing. Because this is healing class or a healing Bible study, we're going to talk pretty exclusively about healing. But we want that. So when we've entered into our salvation or the rest, the actual rest that he wants us to come into in our salvation, we have to abide in him. What does it mean to abide? There's more. What does it mean? I mean, how do you abide? How do you abide in Jesus? Or do you?
Spend my day with him.
Spend my day.
Spend my day.
How do you spend your day?
Everything that I do, I'm doing for him. Regardless if I'm going to the store or what, Lord, what am I doing today? What am I, show me what to do. What am I, should I talk to this or do that or should I not do this? And once you get to know the way he talks and you hear his voice, it's, you're abiding in it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And every now and then it'll come up where I don't want to listen to him. And things will turn south, but then it's very correctly, I got other words to say, but I won't. But turn around, and you do. You know what I mean? There's communication between both of us.
So you got good fruit that comes from all day long seeking him.
Mm-hmm. He wants to be involved with everything that you do. Everything.
Listening to him, and then doing what he says.
If you're changing oil in a car, he's just as good interested as that as cleaning the toilet. I mean, it's
okay.
Everything.
Okay. What else?
Invite him into your home.
Invite him into your home.
Yes.
What else?
So basically it comes down to what she said. You're becoming one with him. Then you got to seek him, believe him, trust him, and then act on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like good. Jesus, becoming one with him.
Yeah.
Now, this is, we're going deeper here. Because when you become one with Jesus in this abiding, which is entering the rest of our salvation for healing. What does that mean to become one with Him? Because that's really what He's talking about all the way through. What does that mean?
One spirit with Him.
We're one spirit. How do we get to be one spirit? How does that happen?
Believing.
Believe. Believe. Yeah. So we're back to faith. In Him. Mm-hmm. But this faith is like uncompromising. And it'll cost you. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. I thought I didn't have to pay anything or work. I thought it wasn't any effort.
Catherine Coleman, it'll cost you.
Faith will cost you. What does it cost? I'm just throwing this out. What is faith?
The world.
Everything.
Denying yourself. Whoa! You know, how many times do we think we've done, lived, believed, and we haven't denied ourselves? I mean, if we haven't denied ourselves, we're really not abiding in Him, in that confidence and that trust and that you're my everything. You're everything. You're my life. Tom was saying about everything you do. You know, I know there's, you're my life, Jesus. I can do nothing without you. I can receive nothing without you. I can produce nothing without you. And I mean being first and foremost. You know, I'm going to say something here that might, you might not agree with, but I think that a lot of times that when we get out of faith, we're really substituting something else that becomes an idol. Whoa. Because anything we put above Him and our confidence in Him, isn't that an idol?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes, absolutely.
Does that work?
No.
Never.
No. Not at all. I want to jump down to verse 7. If somebody would read verse 7 and verse 8. Who's got it? John 15, verse 7 and verse 8.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Wow. Can you call that a confirmation?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, to everything we've been talking about? Mm-hmm. It's a confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
So without, you know, taking a vote... on who's abiding and who's not, right? Because it doesn't matter. We make a choice all the time on how we abide.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not fool ourselves, right? Because we know we're not when we're not doing it. We know it.
Oh, yeah.
We know it.
Mm-hmm.
So are we willing to change that and abide in Him full up, 100%, all the way, all the time, with all of our life, no matter what comes, and see the results of what He's promised us? Or are we going to try to just make it through our own way? Remember, if we're not abiding, we're not producing any fruit.
Exactly.
Can't, because we're doing it on our own. But if we're abiding, He's producing the fruit. He's doing it, and it's His life in us. We have entered the rest of our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But all too often, we work at it. I mean, we try. We have excuses, or we have reasoning, or we have, you know, a lot of different substitutes for Him in our lives and for faith in Him. And I'm just being real.
I just got this picture in my mind of this little bitty vine with this little bitty branch talking to this great big vine saying, "Yeah, I really don't like the way you're dealing out life here. I really like to do it another way. I don't like all your ideas. Who do you think you are?" But that's what we do when we want to go our own way and do something that's out of harmony with Him.
Yeah. Hmm. Amen.
We might not say those words, but our actions will do that.
Now, here's the other part. You know, we might not even be aware that we're doing it because it gets real subtle. Yes. Can I just be real honest? You know, I've been there several times in my life. I've been there. I don't mean to be there, but it's happened subtly.
Yeah.
And has it been in a way? Absolutely. Has it cost? Absolutely. Has it not produced fruit? Absolutely. It has actually hindered the grace of God to me. So, listen, nobody's perfect, right?
Right.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Only Jesus.
Yep.
So learning to abide in him at all costs will produce the fruit that we're looking for in healing. So how do we get there? How do you enter the rest of your salvation? I've got 7 things here, and I've got 15 minutes. I want to bring these up, all right? Now, this is how I see it, how we enter the rest of our salvation. If you've got something else, man, don't hesitate. But the first thing that I think is the most important is to repent of our own works. Repent of our own works. What does that mean to you? When I say that, I know what I mean. Whoops, I hit my microphone. Sorry about that, folks. When I repent of my works, I understand what I mean, but what does that mean to you?
Surrender to him what we want and what we think is right. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but at the end there is death.
Okay. What does it mean to repent of our own works?
Repentance means to turn and unto another a source. So
you got to speak up a little bit, Carol. I want to get on the mic.
It's the repenting, you're turning from what you think is right to what God said is right and who Jesus is.
Okay.
Accepting what he is instead of what you were looking at.
Okay. Jackie.
Recognizing, first of all, that there's something wrong.
Hmm.
And then letting him know you're sorry.
Yeah, good.
And changing your mind, deciding that's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, good. Anything else?
Sitting down and just talking with him, communicating back and forth.
Communicating back and forth?
Yes.
Okay.
I always know when the Lord is in my house.
Okay.
Because I get this warm feeling from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, Lord, I said, you said in your word that that we need to know you, really know you. So I want to communicate with you on a one-on-one basis with you.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you have no place to call your own, but you have a place here to call your own, to come and rest, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I tell them.
That's very good.
Okay.
You're teaching us how we pass that how to abide. We haven't told you how to do that. How do you abide in Christ? How do you abide? You abide in Christ by spending time with him, by having a relationship with him, by taking this mind and renewing it. You have to renew your mind. Everything he's given you everything you need in your spirit. How do you get it from your spirit to be in manifestation? It's got to be renewed of the mind. You've got to take the time to spend time in the Word of the Living God. You've got to spend time. You've got to renew this mind by spending time in the Word, by communicating. That means to pray. It means to pray with him. It means to take the time to do these things necessary to renew the mind. Once you do that, then You God said it only takes a mustard seed of faith. It doesn't take but a little faith. You act like this faith is this big thing. No, it takes a mustard seed of faith. But it's the renewing of the mind. That gives you what you need to walk in the fullness of what God gives you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Lonnie. Okay, repenting of our own works. We understand that abiding is relationship. Yes. I mean, ultimately, it's all these things. But it's really an on-fire relationship. This is not something cold. This is like I'm digging in and I'm seeking. I'm going to pull my, I'm not going to pull heaven down. I'm going to pull myself up to heaven and to the glory. I'm going to pull myself up into His majesty. I'm going to pull myself up into who He is and His power and His might and His glory and His who everything that He is. I'm going to pull myself up, get my face in heaven and get myself changed and abide in Him. That's what I'm going to do. Now, when I realize I'm repent, I've been doing my own thing with my own works. What does it mean to repent? Carol, Jackie, you got, I think, a lot of it. Let me, huh? Go ahead.
Change your mind, turn around.
Change your mind, turn around. Anything else? Yeah. Doris?
Admit it and quit it.
Admit it. You just make things too easy, too simple. You know that? Admit it and quit it. Wow, that's, wait. I want to stop just one second. Hold on to that thought. Why is it so hard to admit when we're, you know what I was going to say?
Pride.
Messing up.
It's pride.
Stubborn.
Pride.
Yeah.
That stubbornness is pride.
Yeah.
The flesh.
Pride. Ugly, nasty, stinking, foul, disgusting pride. Peter says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble.
Yes, that's Lord Jesus.
So repentance from our own works is fundamental. It's fundamental in this area. Pride, admitting when we're wrong and changing that. Todd?
Yeah, I was just going to say, when I came to that point, I repented. I saw in my heart, okay, I'm done doing things my way. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, I'm going to pull myself up to God for doing things His way. Mm-hmm. It's the only way.
The only way.
Because my way is not good.
Amen.
And you realize that.
Amen.
You tell God straight to His heart, I'm
Amen.
Sorry. My way screws everything up. We're Amen. Doing it your way.
Amen.
Deliver me from myself.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now, you think the heart's got anything to do with this?
Yes.
Or is this just a mental thing? You know, I'm just going to decide to do it. It's partly. But this is a reality. Repentance comes from the heart.
It does.
You know that it is through the heart we live, and we receive everything based on what we believe in our heart. Mm-hmm. Our heart. It takes relationship. It takes this abiding. It takes entering His rest by faith. It takes all these things. So number two is turn your heart and your mind. This is for all of us. We have to do this. There's no excuses, okay? There isn't. There's no excuse good enough for not doing any of this. Turn your heart and your mind fully toward Him and His promises to you personally. It's personal. And that's what I meant about, man, I'm grabbing hold of heaven and I'm sticking my face, my head into His glory and majesty. And that's where I am. I'm staying. I'm abiding there with Him and all that He is. You know what? Things change. Things change. But it takes a conscious effort. Most of us don't want to pay the price. That's where the cost is. We don't do it because our flesh doesn't want to. Our flesh, you know, our flesh hates this kind of stuff.
Yes, it does.
It really does. It hates it.
Yes.
It's enmity against God.
Okay.
I was reading some of the Old Testament, and you read about some of these kings. Carol and I were talking about that this morning, and how when they did what God asked and did what He said and turned their heart to Him, they were blessed. And when they it's like and they couldn't learn that from history. It's like,
no.
Just follow God.
It's just
do
like us.
Asks.
It's just like us.
Yeah,
it's like
us.
Every it's human being thing. Since the very beginning.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Over and over and over. Nothing new under the sun.
Amen. Number three. Here's a trap. You've got to accept the fact that we cannot earn a free gift. Because it's real subtle. We want to work for it. We want to get paid. We want it. That way. We got to accept the fact that we cannot earn a free gift, but we can receive it now. The Lord never holds back. Ever. We can receive it right now. You need healing in your body? You got to accept the fact that you can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. There's no price that you can pay. No work you can do. Any of us. But we can receive it right now. Hallelujah.
Doesn't that come from what the world preaches? If it sounds too good to be true, it is. And so we listen to that voice when we need to be listening to who God says he is and what he does for us, instead of what the world says. Because there are some things that are false, that are too good to be true, but not this.
No.
Not this.
The Lord and what he says and his promises are the uncompromising truth.
That's right.
The world, suspect everything. Really, suspect everything. But with the Lord, suspect nothing. It's just accepting. All right. Don't limit the Lord. Know that nothing is off the table. Nothing. Nothing is off the table when it comes to healing or a miracle in any part of your body. Nothing's off the table. I mean, zip. We put limits on the Lord, and we do limit him, just like Israel did. We say, no, this is too big for you. Not maybe consciously, but in our hearts we do. This is where we got to admit it and say, you know what, we're messed up. I'm not going to limit you in this anymore. Part of repentance. Next, apply our words to his word for you. What are his words? What do we speak? When we release power, everything comes out of our words, it comes out of our heart. What we believe, what we understand, what we perceive comes out of our heart. Power is released and things will change because death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit, Proverbs 18:21. And we forget and we release power.
Yeah.
If you're complaining, shut off the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Really? If you're complaining, shut off the flow. If you're contrary and speaking contrary reports to how the Lord says the healing is that you have, that's done, stop it. Plug the tube. Really. And start speaking life to your body. Let your words line up with his word. And do it in authority.
One of the things I tell myself almost every morning, I say, the carnal world is subject to the spirit realm. And what I have today is what I said yesterday. I try to remind myself.
It's a good reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Next to the last, stay focused. Stay focused. Don't lose your focus. It'll cost you if you do. Don't lose your focus. Stay focused. Walk it out all the way. Don't walk it out part way and quit. Don't 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 quit. Stay focused. Walk it out all the way. All the way. And be assured of the truth of his word. He's always faithful. Last one. He's always faithful to you. Always. And he will never fail you. He will never fail you in your healing. Praise God.
Amen.
Any thoughts or questions? Comments?
I just have one on apply my words to God's word. God gave me the analogy of my mouth being a womb. And what I speak, I'm giving birth to.
Beautiful.
And that was just so profound to me. I mean, I got it. So now I'm quick to listen before I speak. It just he just let me know. It's a womb. So whatever you're speaking, you're birthing.
Wow.
That's true. That's absolutely true. It's a good word. Good word picture. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I always look at my words like seed packets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, good seed, bad seed.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you speak, you're spreading out seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And I fail a lot.
Good and bad seed.
But I'm aware of it.
You know, the thing we get, we can always get to do is repent every time when we recognize it. Amen. Thank God for repentance.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
And humility.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Anything else?
It's good to have
we got, look, 1 minute.
That loves you, that puts you in check, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you let these things out. It's like, whoa, oops.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Help. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, my wife.
We're made in the image of God. When God spoke, it's a living word.
There it is.
It's alive. So now, when you speak, you have to bear witness with the living word. You bear witness with the living word. You're speaking the oracle. You're speaking like God. You made in His image. So if you bear witness with this, if you're speaking this, then you're speaking life.
Yes.
Amen.
You're speaking life.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We got.
Todd,
we got no time.
Well,
go ahead, Todd. We'll finish up with this.
I was just saying, God's told me multiple times, don't limit Him. And then what that came down to is, don't be dreaming, believing for things that are possible. We got to dream and believe things that are impossible. Because that means that the only way to do them is through God. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do things that we can do.
Good.
Or that we think, we can get to. Mm-hmm. We want what God has.
Amen.
The miracle work.
Amen. 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 So by His stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, every one of us was healed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Every one of us was healed. Mm-hmm. Every one of us was healed. Mm-hmm. Now, will you enter the rest of your salvation and take hold in Jesus' name? Father, I thank You for this Bible study. And wow. For all the awesome people You brought. Thank You, Jesus, for being our Lord and for healing us. And thank You, Holy Spirit, for leading us through to the fullness of the accomplishment of the Word of God in our bodies. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.